see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn, they got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Armies in the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watchmen for Jesus Bible Study tonight. For those joining us, my name is Thomas Gambill. I am the host of this Bible study. I have a regular broadcast from 4 to 6 p.m. Monday through Fridays. And it's brought to you by the Watchmen for Jesus Network. It's my network also. I have a Facebook, Watchmen for Jesus, and a website. Yep, you guessed it. WatchmenForJesus.com. And y'all are welcome to join it anytime you want to. It's all free. Everything's free. And all that sort of thing. Family, tonight I'm going to kind of rehash. That's a terrible word to use, isn't it? I'm going to rehash a little bit of what we talked about last week, Friday, very quickly. And then we're going to move into several subjects tonight till 9 o'clock. And it seems lately to be going back pretty quickly. Almost have to go to 9:15 sometimes. I don't know. Family, before I dedicate to Bible study, I do want to mention that there are arising, just like the scriptures say, many false prophets. And they're coming out of the woodwork. And many are internationally known, nationally known, Benny Hinn, John MacArthur. You just got a load of them that are coming out of the woodwork, out of the closet. Family, it's you have to identify them. It's not judging moral character. I can't do that for sure, especially me. But you have to expose false prophets. Even if it's your own brother or daddy or whoever it is, it don't matter. It's not a matter of liking someone or, well, I really like the guy. That has nothing to do with it. when someone speaks out of the Bible, if I speak out of the Bible and I speak wrongly, you know, you got to let me know. If I make a mistake, please let me know. If I try to argue with you and justify my mistake, well, you got to leave. No longer listen to me. I've been compromised. Family, when it don't matter who it is. It don't matter. 6 billion people. It don't matter. If they speak against the King James Bible or unbiblical, you got to go. You can't just hang in there and make excuses for their mistakes. You got to pray for them, okay, but you got to move on, because I know that Billy Graham's a 33rd degree Mason. I know that all of TBN, all of 700 Club are Masons, Eastern Stars. You're Joel Osteen's, Victoria Osteen, what she said a month or two ago, that God wants you to do good for yourself and he'll be happy. She said that in front of 10,000 people. Family, we got to identify the false teachers. It's easy. They say something, it's not in the Bible, it goes against it. You got to expose it. God will give you the opportunity to do so. Because deception is the rule. And the truth is the exception, unfortunately. But family, when you were born, the day you were born and you came out of there, lickety-split, you started crying, "I'm hungry." Well, that day that you were born, and they put your little footsies on a birth certificate, well, as we say in the military, in the Marine Corps, you landed in a hot landing zone. Because in this earth, right now, Satan is prince of this world. He's little g, god of this world, but he's not king. And there are certain things that Satan can't do, that God won't allow him to. Don't you know that Satan was in control? He had a new world order a long time ago. God's always been there, protecting you, giving you opportunities to repent and take Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the bottom line of everything. Agenda 21, Fukushima, coffins in Georgia, it don't make one lick of difference. World War III, whatever it is. The number one thing is that you take Jesus as your Savior. Repent of sins and let him come into your heart. But you got to repent of sins and have faith. That's the two most important things of anything. And then when you've done that, then to spread the word. It's called the Great Commission. There's nothing more important than that. I mean nothing. No country, family, nothing. Except to bring people to Jesus. That's it. I'm not into this patriotic fervor. It's a distraction. It moves people away from the truth. All the flag waving, all that, whatever. It's going to go away anyway. It's about Jesus is what it's all about. And the King James Bible. And there's not one person anywhere, no professor on the face of this planet has ever, nor will ever, refute the King James Bible. Until the great falling away takes place. That's when the book of Enoch, the book of Enoch, it's not even of Enoch anyway, never written by Enoch, no way possible. And the book of Urantia, those two books will take lead, unfortunately, but that will be to their demise. That's when the falling away takes place. You haven't seen the falling away yet. It's coming. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and we're going to talk a little bit about what we talked about last week, and then a couple more subjects before 9:10 tonight. And that's what tonight's all about. Lord, we come today before you tonight, this in prayer, Lord. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we lift up to you this Bible study, Lord, as we always do. Lord, we call upon you to bring your Holy Spirit, to send your Holy Spirit down, Lord, and touch our hearts. Guide us along. Lord, and give us that wisdom and discernment to preach your word in season, out of season. And Lord, if we should fall away, to convict us in our heart, to bring us back on track. We thank you, Lord, for the infirmities you give us that makes us stronger. And Lord, we know you're there to protect us and guide us in the right path. Father, we pray for our families, that you bring them together. Lord, that those that scattered, your Holy Spirit would give them divine appointments. That, Lord, that they would be able to receive a witness from someone. And for the healing of their bodies from the attacks from outside ways. Lord, we pray for an awakening in this country. Father, for those in the military, for those in the business industries and the government, to bring whistleblowers out. And Father, we pray against these unlawful acts that they're putting through, abortion and drugs and the euthanasia, all these things we know that are collecting. We pray against them, Lord, that Father, you'll slow them down, that we were able to witness to others. I pray against, Father, those fallen angels that's coming in. I pray against the Wesak Festival in May. I pray against the opening of these portals that they've been doing since sacrifices and these things they're doing, Lord, to keep them back. And, Father, to close them down. And, Father, we pray, Lord, for discernment, wisdom, to see through the deception. And, Father, to have the courage to speak out against it. And the opportunities that you're going to give us to witness to others and the words to speak that will turn the hearts around so that the Holy Spirit can work. In these things we pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from this evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, their idea is to cause you fear, worry, in every which way they can. I've said many times, and a good example is Peter walking on the water. If you really think about it, what an amazing thing you can get out of that story that actually happened. Peter sees Jesus coming toward him in the storm. He's like, whoa, is that a ghost? Who is that? What is that? So he steps out when he's beckoned to come out. And Peter walks on the water. And he's not the only one. In the Old Testament, it happens too. There's others that walked on the water, but Peter walks on the water. Wow, man, can you imagine? He's walking on the water. Peter. Without a rubber ducky. And so he's walking there, and all of a sudden he starts seeing the waves, and he's getting scared. He's afraid. That's where faith goes. He starts sinking. Now, why didn't he just go boop, just like that? He starts sinking. That means he's sinking slowly. He has time to reach out. Lord, help. That means he's got time. That means his body, DNA, is changing slowly. His faith actually affected the change of DNA in his body. What changed it? The Spirit of God changed it. Now, Peter, as in the New Age would say, if Peter had his own inner strength and God-like abilities, I don't know, whatever else, Superman Peter, I don't know what, he wouldn't have sunk, would he? He said, look, I can do it myself. I don't need God. That's not the case. He started sinking. Oh, Peter wouldn't have been down the bottom if it wasn't for Jesus there. Peter couldn't do it on his own. That's consistent throughout. Only Jesus. We can't do it on our own. We can't do any of it on our own. What we can do is repent. It takes willpower, let me tell you. And humbleness. To be humble. To admit we're wrong. I'm not wrong. I'm a U.S. Marine. I'm prideful. I'm never wrong. You say I'm wrong? You see what they... And pride in our uniform. Pride in our football team. Pride in our... Take pride in your clothing. Take pride in this, that, and the other. Well, there's a problem there in taking pride in something. Doesn't mean you walk around slovenly, but it's where you place it in context. Everything we're told not to do, the world tells you to do. Notice that. That's what this whole thing is about. Everything around us is to keep you away from the gospel. Entertainment, climbing Mount Everest, academic awards, Carnegie, he's actually Illuminati. There's almost no exception. When you start finding out the alignments and how people are connected to Illuminati or CFR or Rhodes Scholars and so forth, it's just like a head slapper, like, whoa, wow. That's how Satan keeps people away from the gospel. How does he do it? Is it like Santa Claus? He knows everything you do. There's demons. They're all interconnected. The earth is surrounded by a energy field, if you will. We're all connected. As a matter of fact, the entire universe, and the earth is the center of the universe. The constellations, our sun, the moon, the stars, everything, was created to service the earth only. They would have you to believe that there's other planets out there with other beings. And then, once they got you believing that, which is impossible, once they got you believing that, then they'll say, well, those other beings is what seeded you. That's where they get this placating Christians with intelligent design. So we can't fool them with the evolution. Evolution won't get it. So we'll craft it with intelligent design. That satisfied lukewarm Christians, see? Well, the trick is, those that did that, they knew there was going to be disclosure of the alien lie, the Day of Declaration, Benjamin Krim, Sharon International, Helena Blavatsky, etc., etc. Teilhard de Chardin, Jesuit priest, John Dewey, prepared all the way back in the early 20th century, the extraterrestrial hoax, even covered in the Iron Mountain Report. They knew that was coming. They just had to set up each generation to prepare for it. So intelligent design, they got you thinking that. Then when they bring disclosure, we are in touch with aliens. That's going to bring Christianity crashing down and re-spiritualize into the New Age movement. It's very clever how they got it set up. And there'll be a threat to this world from out beyond. Of bad guys. I don't know, walking lizards, who knows. And here comes your angels of white, light. And sword phasers, or whatever the heck they got. I don't know. But this is actually the scenario called disclosure. They've been using TV, radio, science fiction movies, all kinds of things to get us prepared for it. Roswell was the beginning of it. It goes back to 1897. H.G. Wells, Freemason, wrote a novel called War of the Worlds Novel. John Dewey, father of American education. He was a humanist. Father of American education was a humanist. He upset this up. Did y'all know that? Were you aware how deep this thing goes? Bill Cooper figured it out when he was getting out of Naval Intelligence, and they kept slipping UFO top secret documents across his nose, knowing he was going to be getting out. They wanted him to know. So he'd go report it. He caught on that he was being used. War of the Worlds broadcast, 1938. Orson Welles, Illuminati, is also set up. Radio Project, War of the Worlds broadcast. Paul Lazarsfield, Adorno, Cantrill, was a psychologist, Tavistock Institute, Princeton University. They set the darn thing up. the tests. Rockefeller's funded it in 1937. Scared the dickens out. And they try to tell people that nobody was scared, really, but they were. Certain small towns never caught the deniability that it was actually a hoax. Some people didn't catch that during the period of the radio broadcast. Actually thought it was real. They gave a disclaimer about every 20, 30 minutes or so, but some people didn't get it. One small town shot up their water tower, scared them so bad. Well, in 1917, a good example, John Dewey attended a luncheon and gave a speech. In that speech, he laid out very simply what they were going to do. And that everything had to happen before that. World War I, World War II, all kinds of things. John Dewey was professor of course, philosophy in CFR, Columbia University. He spoke at a United States a special mission headed by Viscount Ishii, the Imperial Japanese mission. He said, I quote, "Someone remarked that the best way to unite all the nations on the globe would be an attack from some other planet. In the face of such an alien enemy, people would respond with a sense of the unity of interest and purpose." Unquote. I'll leave it at that. They're going to try to tell you that demons are aliens. They're not. Demons are demons. The demons ain't aliens. So what are demon spirits, really? From the Bible, because they're not taught in churches these days. Because they'll lose people. They won't get the 10% tithing. I mentioned this last week about your body, your spirit, and your soul. There's three of you. Your body is the physical. Your soul is your personality and character. That's energy. It's the battery that keeps the body moving and electricity flowing. And the spirit is connected to God by the silver cord, talks about in the Bible, Ecclesiastes. The spirit, the soul, and the body, there's three of you, located in your brain, actually. You cut off your you, spirit, and my personality. You express yourself with your body. You take away the body, you, spirit and soul, would not be able to express yourself. You'd be supernatural. Cut off your tongue, your spirit would not talk. Destroy your ears, you could not hear. Put out your eyes, couldn't see. Even though the eyes are blind, your ears are deaf, and your tongue's cut out, your spirit is still there. But it can't see, can't hear, can't speak. It's difficult to express yourself, thus you're handicapped. Go ahead and proceed to cut off your legs and arms. Destroy your sense of smell, vocal cords, and still you have not destroyed your spirit. Your spirit can no longer express itself, but still there. Your spirit still has a body, but its faculties of expression have been destroyed. So you can understand when you talk about the difference between spirit and the body, and the soul, of course, is attached to your spirit. It separates your spirit from all the others by your soul and your personality. Family, this is quantum physics. Now, what's that got to do with the price of tea in China? Well, I'll tell you. Demons are spirits little s. And they desire expression. Humans, because they're physical, desire to be spiritual. Demons that are spiritual desire to be physical. In other words, they want your Lamborghini. That's your body. They want to express themselves in your body. And how they get it? Drugs? Yoga? Abominations within your body? Portals that's opened up by cutting? Oh. Tattoos? But I've already got one. You pray over it. Ask God to forgive you for desecrating your temple. He'll bless you because you repent of it. You close off those portals. That's what the drugs are all about. That's why they put that fluoride in the water back in 1900 to medicate the population. So you'd be susceptible to suggestion. Everything I'm telling you is factual. Then in Coca-Cola, 1860s, they put cocaine in it. Well, Tom, is only a little bit of cocaine in the Coca-Cola. Uh-huh. You drink enough Cokes and tell me so. How come their jingle is release fatigue? Cocaine's got a way of doing that, you know. And then in sometime 1960s, 1970s, I don't know when, they took the cocaine out and loaded it down with sugar. Lord have mercy. Tons of sugar in one Coke. You say, what's that got to do with Bible study? Well, that helps reduce the sugar. Causes you to have excitement. Causes your body heart rate to beat fast. Keeps you hyped up. And these abominations to the body opens up portals. The drugs goes without saying. And alcohol, drugs, chain smoking. All these things are addictions that get your mind off the spirit. I'm not going over the edge. Everything around us is based on this principle. Demons then are evil spirits without bodies. A lot of demons comes from the lost bodies of the Nephilim, NIV, unfortunately. The giants with the King James Bible, Genesis 6:2-6:4. Hybrids of the fallen angels and daughters of man. Now, you're going to get some preachers, theologians, that tell you, well, no, it's impossible, that the sons of God were the sons of Seth. Well, I'm going to tell them that's impossible. If you, preacher, can show me in Job 38:7, where the sons of Seth, that all didn't live at the same time, by the way, were here before the creation of the earth, I'll believe it. But I just don't think they were all here at one time before the creation of the earth. I just don't think that the sons of Seth had the DNA to create giants that were abominations and cannibals. They don't think about that. No, I talked about the other day about the black sun and the DNA, the Vril. A different DNA of the fallen angels' bodies is made of copper, whereas the human is carbon. The copper allows them a higher degree of electricity, of energy, to be able to go from one portal to the next in ritual, to accept, receive the negative energy of human sacrifice. How that works, I'm not sure. But somehow, that energy is absorbed by the supernatural being, considering the tree of life, the Kabbalah, all that blah, 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 alchemy, whatever, and they can manifest in this realm. This is the reasons for the train wrecks, for the death, destruction, abortions, all these things to create negative energy, wars, definitely. That's the whole purpose of all this. So they can manifest in this realm. Now, demons can't do that. They have to take a body. So, in the Old Testament, between Adam and Eve and Noah was 1,550 years. In that 1,550 years, Satan is manipulating DNA, genetics, That's where the Nephilim come from. Came from. Well, so they had spirits, but not connected to God. So when the bodies died in the flood, the spirits were let loose, but not with God. So that became the demons. Fallen angels is another level from the second heaven. Second heaven's between the third heaven, where God resides, and the first heaven is a physical earth. Like water, like ice, water, and steam. Three dimensions. So when you read about Daniel, who prayed for an angel, and finally the angel got to him, said, Daniel, when you prayed, I was immediately dispatched, words to the effect, I don't have the words in my head right now, but it took me 2 weeks to get through. And he had to call Michael, the archangel, help him fight his way through. I said, through what? Through the second heaven. So you got 3, 2, 1. It's like big ball, middle ball, and small ball. Encased within each other. That's how the earth, the universe is actually configured. Everything operates on frequency, vibration. It's quantum physics, family. Quantum physics. So now, this is very, I've severely simplified it. So, demons are evil spirits without bodies. And they want to express themselves. Family, Beyonce confirms in her own interviews that when she gets on stage, she's taken over by Sasha Fierce. Katy Perry says she sold her soul to the devil. These are the rewards they get. Why? Because Satan uses Hollywood. He uses many ways to keep us distracted. And I would say Hollywood would. You know, no kidding. It has for since the silent films. A brainwashing mechanism beyond the imagination. Actors, actresses. That's why they're heavily rewarded. Sports stars. It's manipulate the public thinking. I mean, these are all true. These demons can come inside by yoga. Every position of yoga opens up a different portal. People are not told this. So when they say, well, Tom, you coming to yoga tonight? I'm going, what? Yogurt? I don't like yogurt. No, yoga. Well, whatever. Who's yoga? Yoga bear? No. So yoga. Oh, Christian yoga. Uh-huh. And Sunday school classes sometimes use Harry Potter books to learn about how children interact with each other. What? Yes, that's true. So, you can understand why the evil spirits was cast out of the man who had no rest and could not be satisfied. It's the same thing for the Nephilim. I mean, the Illuminati. And those in the Wicca, they can never rest. They wake up at all times of night. They have their seances between 2 and 3 o'clock in the mornings when the veil is thinnest to sacrifice and to do their tarot cards and I don't know whatever else they do. We're talking teenagers. It's all on TV too, isn't it? That's how they do it. The Wicca say, well, those are Satanists. We don't mess with them. They're Satanists. But we're Wicca. We believe in Mother Earth. It's a dialectic. They got them coming and going. Angry people go to Satan. Ones that want protection or tired of being bullied or all that kind of thing, go to Wicca. Oh my goodness. And then throw the drugs in there. The vaccines? Mm-mm. Not good. The Ouija boards, all those things, are all portal openers, I call them. They want expression in your body. When they come inside, they sometimes lie dormant in your body. All demons are specks of light. specks of energy. That's all they are. They give the illusion that they're giant, evil, ugly teeth, you know, all that on TV and all this, but they're not. Satan is like an orb. That's what the fallen angels are orbs, till they take a physical illusion, become angels of light. A demon is a personality, a spirit, just like you or I. And they have specialties. And what identifies a specialty is their frequency. So a demon of lust literally has a different frequency vibration that identifies itself as a lust specialty. Anger specialty. Like a radio signal. Now, case in point, here comes a humdinger. Did you know that an ELF activity, ELF transmission that are commercialized or technology, the chemtrails, the ELF transmissions can target an individual, a town, a city, a house, a shopping mall, from satellite technology and HARP. They've learned to adjust the frequency vibration to produce certain results in the person's body. So they can actually make a synthetic demonic influence by technology and voices in the skull called voice to skull, V2K, voice to skull technology. So now you got real demons, and then you've got the technology that synthesizes demonic activity. Now, when I say that a demon can lie dormant in the body, see, your location of your soul, your spirit, is in the brain. It's called the golden bowl. You can find it in Ecclesiastes. Talks about it. How did they know that back in the Old Testament? How did they know that? See, the Bible was written by God, using the hands of man. People get that messed up. Oh, men wrote the Bible. No, they didn't. King James Bible was simply the hand of man, but the inspiration of God thoroughly. And Jesus is God incarnated, right? So Jesus wrote the entire Bible, using the hands of man to do so. People forget about that. You know, if you think about it. Now, had someone ask me a question by text here a little while ago. So bear with me just a second, and I'll try to answer this question. Because, you see, we look at religion and philosophy as connected. And we do Bible studies and go to, you know, Bible lessons and all this as lessons in life. But we forget that God created the heavens and the earth. What does that mean? He created physics. Problem is, Satan is wanting to quantify this physics, identify it, give formulas to it, so he can manipulate it. Ecclesiastes 12. Six. Old Testament, no less. It says, "O ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, which is your heart, or the wheel broken at the cistern." What it's talking about here is your golden bowl is your brain. The silver cord is that connected to God is your spirit by the silver cord. The pitcher broken at the fountain and the wheel broken at the cistern is your circulatory system. Life is in the blood. So now when a demon gets inside your body, by several different means and methods. They can just stay there in your body and you not even know it. Until such time as that demon wants to start acting up, he'll catch you when your free will is not active. Half asleep, on drugs, drunk, lust, is your weakness. Then the demon kind of melds into it and makes you get in a chain of addiction, of lust, or anger. And by that one demon, or more than one, opens up portals for others. A drug or vaccination, some chemical, can activate and let demon come on out and overshadow you. In the 60s, when they used music, see, music opens up both sides of the brain. The words go into the brain while you listen to the music and grooving with the music. The words go inside your brain and start teaching you. And you don't even know it. So when they play all this crazy music and they say things like you can hardly hear, kill the pigs, or killing or murdering or whatever else, drugs, cocaine, bah, bah, bah. Remember that word? That's going inside your brain. And subconscious level. It's manipulating your mind. So when that demon's ready to come out, this is why you get murders and suicides. Sickness. You seen John today? Yeah. Man, what's wrong with him? I don't know, man. He's acting funny lately. So when they say the devil made you do it, there's more truth to that than people realize. But when you do these things, you can't say, well, the devil made me do it, so blame the devil. We have to be convicted by the laws of man. The laws of man must reflect the Bible. So now, we change the laws of man to go against the Bible. It takes away the opportunity or the control system. God pulls away. You get the point. So when you start changing the laws of the land against the Bible, God will pull away from that country. Same-sex marriage, child euthanasia, legalizing drugs. You got it now. They know what they're doing. It worked at the Garden of Eden. But here's the problem for them. Every success they achieve, like getting commandments taken down at schools, stopping prayer, approving drugs, all these things, every success they have that you read about is one more step to their demise and failure. Because the sooner the tribulations will get here. But you still go against it. You still pray against it. You still go against Satan every step of the way. You don't say, well, I'm just going to step back and let it happen. No. You fight back the right way, of course. Prayer, supplication, spiritual warfare. It's a battle you're in today. People don't like to hear that. But they better be ready, because when the supernatural raises ugly head in this world, people that's not ready for it are going to see these demons manifest. When they're called forward, they will no longer be dormant. They'll take over the bodies. Family, did you know? They have a drug called bath salts. The bath salts, or LSD, or marijuana, or cocaine, or whatever else they come up with, is of a particular frequency. Is different. Obviously, it has different effects on people. Well, each one opens up a different portal for a specific demon. Case in point, bath salts. Bath salts, that particular demon, causes the individual to get real hot in the body because the energy is great. It's hot. So they strip the clothes off. They go naked. Well, it gets worse. That particular demon is a cannibalistic demon. It always results in the individual who's under the influence of it to literally start eating the person alive. That happened in Florida once or twice. Cops had to shoot one guy because he's chowing down on one homeless guy. He'd attacked and was just eating him up, tore his face all to pieces. Marijuana has a different frequency. It causes you to lay back. Oh, yeah, cool, man. Oh, yeah, you know. Oh, I'm hungry. Whatever. I don't know. I didn't use drugs. I used moonshine in my day, back in the day. So I'm no innocent by no stretch of anybody's imagination. I'm as guilty as they come. I was a drinker and a fighter. I did stupid things back in those days. I love fighting. Every one of us has got something. Satan knows by trial and error what makes us tick. And lust. These kind of things, he knows what they are. He wants to keep our minds off of the Savior. When we're really off of it, then he uses us to get other people off of it. This is what's going on today. It's by frequency, vibration. But all through that, the Holy Spirit. The point of the matter is, you see all these factors I'm telling you about. Can you imagine if you didn't have the protective spirit of God around you? I don't think we could even fathom when God removes his spirit from this earth and lets these demons loose. So the point of the matter here is how much God's really protecting us, giving us the opportunity to take Jesus Christ as our Savior, how much we're protected. And then we pull away from him, well, it opens up us to more attacks. Physical, mental, our life around us. And that's what it's all based on. Spiritual warfare is not being taught in the churches today. Demons delight to use the human lips or pen to do the dirty work. Since they have no bodies of their own, they must wander through the land. Matthew 12:43 says, Matthew 12:43, when the unclean spirit, little s by the way, is gone out of a man, he walketh through the dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. It's all in the Bible. How come they hide that? How come they don't talk about it? Seeking some body in which they can enter, find expression, and carry out their mission of evil. So they'll lie dormant in your body. In other words, you won't even know they're there till they find an opportunity to express themselves. And you do something impromptu or something out of character. Or you're going to pay for it through man if it's against the law. But this is where it's coming from. That's why you pray that demon out. It's important. So demons like to use the human lips or pen to do their dirty work. Their choice of power is to defile, to destroy, to lead people astray through the use of human instrumentalities. God also must use human instruments, anointed by the Holy Spirit, to bless, to inspire, to encourage, to lift those who need his divine help. So the Holy Scriptures were written by holy men who were moved upon by the Spirit of God. So the message of good news, the Great Commission, must be reported by who? By the human lips. God uses human instruments to minister to the human family. Likewise, Satan uses his instruments, humans, destroy the human family. This is the way it is. This is where you are. And this is the infirmity. This is the challenge you have. This is what's making you stronger. You remember some of this when you go to heaven. But this is to make you stronger. And he can use you. When it's needed. So, how often does Satan use some vile man or woman to defile an innocent boy or girl? Sends that boy or girl out of his missionary into the public schools, colleges, to defile the minds of others who are innocent. This is coming out today. It's coming out about these schools. Child Protective Service. There's a now report of two kids from Russia sent over to a London school were rescued. At 8 years old, they were taught how to cut the heads of babies off. This is not some sensational Globe tabloid. This is real. Family, this goes all the way up to government headquarters and government military at the highest level of industry leaders. Are Satan worshipers. And they don't want anybody in there in positions of power without being a Freemason or some secret society. I know this for an absolute fact. I was working at Wackenhut as a security guard. I've always had a manager's position. I said, well, you know, you can't always be a manager, you know. Sometimes you got to cook the hot dogs. So I decided to be a security guard, just for the heck of it. Well, I put in for a manager position at a place called Guardsmark. It's based out of Memphis, Tennessee. I got the job as a manager of a BP oil refinery. Security forces of it. Not the refinery itself, but had to coordinate with them. So I went on for, it was a good job. I had to drive like 45 minutes commute from Chicago to Indiana, that oil refinery up there. I had four shift supervisors under me, fairly large security contingent, in the oil refinery. About 3, 4, 5 months later, someone asked me, do you want to be a Freemason? I said, I can't do that. Why? And I told him why and all this. I said, well, you know, we believe in God too. I said, yeah, but I can't do that. Then a manager above me came in and said, how's the weather? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Says, you want to come to lodge one day? I said, I can't do that. Long story short, a manager over him came in about a month later. How's the weather? You know, really. Just a lot of chit-chat, small talk. Would you come to lodge with me someday? I said, I can't do that. Okay, strike three. And actually had somebody, a former U.S. Marine, it was a contractor, had really asked me to be an Illuminati. I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, I can't do that. Here's what happened, real quick. From that moment on, the manager over me was on me every single day. For 2 months, I had to quit. I had to resign. It was just, it got unbearable. They had me replaced within an hour. Now, here's the rub on it. I found out that the Guardsmark Security Company, the owner was a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. I said, Lord, why'd you throw me in a bee's nest for? He's a member of the CFR. See, you had to be a manager, you had to be a Freemason. That's how Satan really works. I had no idea when I joined. I had no clue. It was back about 7 years ago. That's how it really works. I was on unemployment for like about three years. I don't know, whatever. I could never find a job after that. Got blackballed. Satan works. They've got ways to destroy you. I got a report on it. I got like a 4-page report how they do it. Man is Satan's tool for destruction when he finds what it's going to go with him. That's where the Wicca, the Satanists, Danton LaVey, Aleister Crowley, Michael Aquino from the Pentagon, that's what these people are for. public schools and colleges. Sodomy, rape, murder is the way they open up portals. The government's called the trans-Gothic experience. When they become a 33rd degree, a lot of places in the Pentagon, this little middle room, they got in the center of the Pentagon. By sodomy of a young boy child, or rape. I hate to tell you all this, but it's what it really is. This is how evil it really gets. Sexual, physical abuse. The individual doing it is received of a demonic entity that gives them particular supernatural abilities. But it's not them, it's a demon within them. That's how it really works. Very few people talk about this. But you got to know the enemy. When you have these thoughts, that's when you start praying. You start fasting. Matthew 17:21. Howbeit this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. And that's where you cover yourself in the blood of Jesus, the full armor of God, and you fight back. See, man is a prized possession of demons. And since the human body has the broadest sense of expression, having been only one made in the likeness of God, demons seek the highest price to enter human beings. And they know entering a Christian is a blue ribbon. Because a Christian, they believe, would receive inspiration from God. They want to know from wisdom discernment you receive when Jesus is coming. Yeah, people only knew what was really going on out there. Family, Jesus Christ is the only way. And we're being attacked on a regular basis, and you can't imagine how much God protects us. Demons talk. They're intelligent. They resist any surrendering. They can drive people to insanity. Ouija boards cause suicides of children because they do manifest demons. Demons also call for reinforcements. Demons occupy alone or united together. And demons also recognize and they obey those who have power over them. There's a mark on those who have power over the demons that only they can see. But the one that has the power knows it already. And demons are also the cause of a lot of diseases. So knowing how to heal the sick or casting out demons is not taught today. Well, I want to talk tomorrow. We're toward the end of the evening now. You sort of got an idea. And we talk about demons, we're not talking about just representation of evil. We're talking about physics. We're talking about chemistry, biology. And when you know that you have those inclinations, see, a Christian cannot be possessed, but they can be demonized, influenced. Deliver me from temptation. But once you renounce Jesus Christ, which is what the 33rd degree Mason, they do. They renounce Jesus Christ. They have to. Then they can be indwelled with a demon. Otherwise they can't. Because the Holy Spirit protects them. God's doing amazing things around us. And when you get ready to make a move, your prayer is strong, Satan will put an interruption your way. He sees that connection from a silver cord. He sees that connection opening up a portal of something. To the third heaven. He sees it happening, so he'll throw an interruption, a telephone call, an argument, something to get you off track. Every single time. Stay focused. Find ways that you can Bible study. Find ways you can keep that train of thought going. And sometimes when you're witnessing to somebody, don't they have some kind of interruption every time? a car horn will start blowing, or somebody come up, oh, excuse me a minute, somehow to distract you. That's Satan working. Some of the people don't even know they're being used. So when I told you, when you were born, the day you're born, man, you landed in a hot LZ, man. You landed in a hot landing zone. You're being shot at the minute you come out of the helicopter. This is the way it is. But get ready for spiritual warfare unlike anything you've ever seen. Whenever it happens. I don't make predictions. Nobody can make predictions. Predictions have been made already. It's called Daniel and Isaiah and the book of Revelation. And all through in the middle, the minor prophets confirm everything is congealed together. There's no contradictions. That's amazing in itself. 40 authors, 66 books, prophecies all come together. No contradictions. Come on now. A man can't do that. Not if they tried to, they couldn't. God is the author of the Bible. Jesus Christ is God incarnated human flesh. Holy Spirit touches every man, woman, and child that accept Him as their Savior and protects even those to give them opportunity to receive Him. This is a war going on around us today. That's why I don't worry myself about no hide laws, Agenda 21, all these things going on, even World War III, which is fake. All that's going to go by the wayside when this tribulation begins. You see, I look at the bigger picture. Warn people the smaller picture, what to stay away from, including myself, to stay away from certain things because I know my weaknesses. And boy, Satan will jump on you in a heartbeat. His little minions following you around to get you connected to whatever is a distractor for you. So that full armor of God is very important. So family, okay. I want to remind you all that my broadcast and Bible studies are played up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. John Kirkler, highpointradio.net. He does my broadcast and Bible studies on a random basis because he just likes them, and I appreciate it. That's how that works. He has sponsors, though. He has networks up there, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. He has sponsors that you can find on his website. You can contact him and give him a hand or use his sponsors. Also, my website is watchmanforjesus.com. My Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. So, family, I appreciate y'all coming by tonight, my Bible study here. I will reassess, and we'll head to another direction here in the next couple days. I want to talk about, very importantly, the concept, is it biblical to ask Jesus to come into your heart? There's something you don't need to hear about that. There's a lot of deception on the pulpit. That statement, to ask Jesus to come into your heart, is not biblical. But to ask for repentance and have faith, that is. Jesus does come into your heart when you repent. And be baptized. Is it required to be baptized? No. Is it obedient to be baptized? Yes. But some, let's say proverbial, this Baptist church over here says you must be baptized. You must find a preacher and he must dunk you under the water or you're not saved no matter what. Then over here it says no. Another one will say you don't have to be baptized, but it's obedience to show your public acknowledgement of Jesus, which is the right answer. So if you're obedient, you're not going to say, well, I don't have to be baptized. I'm not going to. Well, were you saved in the first place? Because once you become born again, truly born again, Holy Spirit comes with inside you. He's going to guide you to the right Bible. He's going to guide you with discernment to do the right things and convict you when you fall away. But if you can do bad things, you can do things against Him and continue, and you don't feel remorse for it or conviction, you better start worrying. Because just saying that sinner's prayer doesn't get it. You got to have faith. God knows your heart. And you got to repent of sins. Acknowledge that, Father, I lusted. Father, I got angry. Father, I took these drugs. I repent of them. And you acknowledge it because he says, oh. That's where we get into tongues again. There's no tongues today. The tongues, you'll find out, as Paul said, must have an interpreter. Or you're not supposed to do it. Because the tongues back in the days of the Pentecost was actually them speaking the word of God in another language without them ever learning it. And then the heavenly language, they had an interpreter. So if I get out here and do tongues, and I do that babbling, nobody knows what you're saying. You don't know. A new Christian wouldn't know. A person's in your church saying, what's he saying? I don't know. God doesn't want you doing that. I went to a Bible study in Chicago. They started saying, well, Tom, we're going to learn how to speak tongues next week. I said, what? You're going to learn how to do what? Okay, so I went next week. It was like 7 years ago. I'll never forget this. I said, okay, we're going to learn about speaking tongues. And we still got into it. And I'm like scratching my head. That good coffee cake, though. Coffee wasn't bad either. They said, okay, we're making talking about tongues. And they started speaking tongues. I said, man, what are you talking about? I said, well, Tom, you got to make noise. I said, make noise. I said, what do you mean make noise? You got a translation book? You got what? Where's the words? No, you got to make these noises. That's why they called it. I said, well, what's that do? I said, well, that's your coming out. When you just make these noises, that's your spirit coming out, praying to the Holy Spirit. I said, I don't know what I'm saying. Well, the Holy Spirit knows. I told him, you mean my spirit's talking behind my back? To the Holy Spirit, I ain't got a clue what it's saying. So Tom gets serious. So this went on for a little while, and I realized it's baloney. Does God want me speaking some language I don't even know what it is, or if it's language at all? And I have no idea what I've just said? Or does he want me to know what I'm saying? And I know what I'm saying. You tell me. You'll find, too, in a lot of the Pentecostal, that this teaching and speaking in tongues has demonic language behind it. It's not good. You've got to have an interpreter so people understand what you're saying. Anyway, that's tongues. I got an hour teaching on it, but I just kind of let you know, really, about it. People don't have a clue what you're saying. You don't either. Something's not right about that. Anyways, family, thank you all for coming by. I'm going to close in prayer. And tomorrow, 4 to 6, another side of the broadcast. We're going to hit the ground running tomorrow and Bible study tomorrow night. Any points you want me to bring up or clarify, send me an email or a Facebook or whatever about tonight on the Bible study. And I want to talk about asking Jesus into our heart tomorrow night. And the sinner's prayer, how that really works. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you tonight for Bible study. And thank you, Lord, for this network that you've given us. That we can pray. Father, have Bible study together. Lord, we thank you for the blessings you've given us. The gifts you've given upon us. Lord, we thank you for your infirmities to make us stronger. And Lord, thank you for giving us the opportunity to pray. The divine appointments that we can witness to others. Father, guide us through this week. That Father will help others. And to keep us strong, convict us when we get weak. We fall away. Lord, we pray for our veterans and our children that are being targeted with these vaccines and drugs. And Father, we pray for our enemies. That they'll come to know you through divine appointments. That, Lord, we see the time's changing. That you give us wisdom and discernment to see through these deceptions and end times and to use us in your service when that time comes. And these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, family, we'll see you all tomorrow night. Have a good night, and God bless you all. And this is Tom Gamble. I am your host, and I'm your watchman. Good night, God bless. Signing off.
Release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Every day.